Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cover Season. It's your guy,
yes, D-Dub,
and I'm here with my guy, Ali. And as we return here for another episode, we're in the midst of the NBA playoffs. We didn't think this thing was going to be, you know, this was going to be capable. But, you know, with everything going on, we are excited to watch and bring you guys the NBA playoffs. And one of the games that we were talking about earlier and they were excited about was the Denver and the Utah. Ali, tell me what you think about this game and where it's going and where you think it's headed.
I tweeted this the other day. I think it was yesterday when during game three. The Nuggets are kind of falling apart right in front of our eyes, man. And Will Barton is out. Gary Harris is out. Jokic hasn't been playing the way he's capable of playing. Jamal Murray had a subpar game. Paul Millsap hasn't really done anything. I think the Nuggets are just kind of crumbling right in front of us, man. Utah, on the other hand, I like what I see, bro. I think that they've played well. They are moving the basketball. Gobert, man, he's playing great defense. I think that Utah is up 2-1 right now. I don't think Denver gets another game in at this point. I think Utah takes it the rest of the way. They go 4-1 and move on to the next round. Coming back in game three was a big boost. He was out because of the birth of his son. You know, he came back 27 points. For eight from three. He dominated.
With Mike Conley coming back, do you see them as a whole different team?
It depends. I mean, that was just one game for Mike Conley. He was a little bit inconsistent throughout the season. Even to a point where he was out of the starting lineup for a good chunk of the season. So it depends on how consistent he can be. I think if he plays the way he played yesterday, I think they could be a potential threat to a Lakers team or a Clippers team. Like, and when I say a potential threat, like, they could take them 6 or 7 games. I think
with the power that they have with Rudy Gobert defensively, I think they can stretch a 6-game or 7-game
series. Yeah, I don't think they could beat a LeBron-led Lakers team or a Kawhi-led Clippers team. I don't think they could beat them, but I know they can compete with them and they can challenge. Yeah, can give them a fight. But to me, Utah, they got a good young nucleus right now, man. And they've added some talent, Jordan Clarkson. He had his playoff career game in game two when they got their first win of the series. I think he had about 24, 25 points that game. Donovan Mitchell, man, he's been balling. He's averaging 43 points for the playoffs right now, even though he only had, I think, 20 last game. He didn't really do too much because they were blowing it. I mean, they were up 30 on the Nuggets. To me, they've been able to stop the Nuggets from playing Nuggets basketball. And that's Jokic being able to get inside of the paint and move the defense the way he wants it to be moved.
And not only that. I think he needs to take a few more shots to try and draw those fouls, because at the end of the day,
he does.
He needs to draw those shots, and also as the big man on the floor, you got to attack the rim more. It's only going to give you more benefit. You're going to get more rebounds, and it's also going to, you know, get you to the foul line. But at the end of the day, I think that they can still turn it around. They could still Jokic can still turn the way that he's playing around, and he could play a lot better.
They're done. It was too many times, too many possessions that they had in game three where he had the opportunity to maybe get Gobert off the dribble and take it to the cup, but he was hesitant. He was taking a lot of mid-range jumpers. He wasn't really attacking the cup. And to me, I think it's a little bit of a mental game now. I think Gobert has him like, you come in here, your shit gonna get swatted. So, don't bring that stuff in. So to me, I think that, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a mental thing going on with Gobert. I mean, with Jokic, you know, he's intimidated by Gobert right now. And I think that's playing a huge role. I think Jamal Murray needs to step up. We know, you know, the first game, overtime or whatnot, he had 50-something points, maybe. Or, you know, I think, you know, he had a good output of points in the first game. But to me, you got to be consistent. You know, same like I said with Mike Conley, you just have to be consistent. And I think that, you know, they got to get back to the drawing board. I think they're done for the season. I don't think they're going to win any other games. I think they're done. They got to get back to the drawing board and see what works for them, you know, going into next year.
Okay. And what other game did you see yesterday that, you know, excited you just as much as this series?
I don't want to say just to put my hand on one game, because all of the games have been exciting so far, man. And I know, I mean, from day one, you know, with the Raptors blowing out the Nets and, you know, all those other games, the Trailblazers sneaking one up on the Lakers. But yesterday's games, the Clippers and Maverick game was definitely something to watch. You know, unfortunately, Luka went down in the end of the third quarter, it was, you know, with that ankle sprain. And, you know, that's unfortunate. He still had a triple-double because he's just that damn good. Mm-hmm. But I was saying this to you the other day. I know Kawhi Leonard had 32 points in game two, even though they lost. But that was Kawhi, like, not on. Like, the robot button, Android button wasn't on. And I told you before the game last night, I told you he was going to wake up and he was going to dominate. And that's what we got to see from Kawhi.
He did. And we did. We did see them struggle early on, and we saw the frustration. The switch kicked on, and they went to work. And Kawhi easily, you saw, like, there was times when he was going down low, it just started coming into play, and you could see.
Yeah.
He was taking those mid-range jumpers, and he was stepping back, and it just opened up a lane for everything else.
Yeah, to me, I think the thing that came out the most to me during the game was his aggression on defense. The first two games, he really wasn't defending Luka that much. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a little bit of Paul George, a little bit of Markieff Morris, a little bit. He really wasn't guarding Luka that much. Last night, in the first two and three quarters, he was all over Luka. It was either Luka or Porzingis. He was guarding one of those two guys. And to me, that showed, like, hey, you know, no more games. I'm the claw. I'm about to strap shit down. And that's what he did. I mean, he made Luka struggle. Luka only had 15 points. And even had Luka played the rest of the game, I don't think he was going to have another 40-point or 38-point game. You know, the level of aggression that Kawhi had, I mean, the Clippers as a whole, Paul George played a pretty solid game. Landry Shamet, who came off the bench, and, you know, there were some concerns about him defensively, how he would play. You know, so to me, I think it was very nice to see those bench guys also step up. Montrezl Harrell, Lou Will had a big game for the Clippers. So, to me, I think that all started from Kawhi, you know. And like you alluded to, two fast break buckets in a row the Mavericks had in the first half, and he was angry. You know, he was yelling at his teammates, get your ass in that spot.
He was throwing it down.
Doc Rivers ended up calling a timeout. I mean, you can see that was the energy that Kawhi gave the team because he's the leader of those guys. So, was very interesting.
But I don't think it's far from going. I think.
No.
Because Dallas is a strong team. Curry put up a lot of. He's put in some work.
He has. Look, man, I've said this a lot the last couple of days, and I'm both sad and happy at the same time. I'm sad because, damn it, the Knicks just had to let him go. But I'm happy because I like to see Porzingis play. And I like to see Porzingis play in a setting that means something, in a playoff game. And damn, he's good. You know, he had, 34 and 13 last night. Damn, he's good, you know. And people are always talking about Luka lately. You know, Luka this, Luka that. Porzingis has been just as damn good in the bubble. He's averaging 30. He was averaging 30 points in the 10 games in the bubble, or the 8 games in the bubble. And then, of course, the first 3 games of this series, he's still averaging over 30 points. I just think that I want to see him be more aggressive. I think especially if Luka doesn't play in game 4, I think KP needs to be more aggressive. Get in the paint. You're a good free throw shooter.
Yeah.
Get it on the elbow against a mismatch. Mm-hmm. Work your way into the paint. I think if he can do that, then they definitely stand a chance, especially in game 4. Game 4 is going to be huge if Luka doesn't play. Everybody is going to have to step up. I don't think they would start Seth Curry.
I think if Luka doesn't play, you start Seth Curry.
I think they're going to start Trey Burke. I'm going to tell you why. I think they start Trey Burke because
you know what? You're right on that.
They want to have that boost on the bench. Right. I think they're going to need that boost from Curry on the bench, especially if things go wrong and you can pull Trey Burke. But you know, I feel like if you have Seth Curry start and you know he's having a bad game, you don't want to bring Trey Burke off the bench to replace that. That's just my opinion. But you know, hopefully, fingers crossed. I hope Luka plays. He's damn good. He's amazing to watch, man, and he plays with so much energy. Every other possession last night. I mean, these guys were ready to fight.
I can see if Luka doesn't play, I can see Kristaps pulling off a 40-point game. I can see him.
He's capable, and I think he can.
Too. Like you said, if he can get down low, if he can get down low and take it to the hole, and you know draw those fouls and also take those shots. As you can see, even when he's around the perimeter, they're leaving him open because they don't think he can take those shots.
I mean, he's open. He's 7'3". He's open already.
He's been successful on a few of them, but don't
you? He's been successful on a good amount of them. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. got to step up. He had a couple of good plays. I think he had 21 or 22 points last night. He had a couple of good plays. I think he needs to be a little bit more consistent. But that's a very interesting series. But another series that's just been, you know, very interesting, I've had my eye on, even though it's a 3-0 series, man, has been Boston and Joel and the Sixers. I mean, they're pretty much Boston and versus Joel Embiid anyways. Nobody else has pretty much stepped up against Boston. But, I mean, you're not a big fan of Joel Embiid. The Sixers are down 3-0. But they've had competitive games. My question to you, man, is do you believe in Boston, and do you believe Boston can make it all the way?
I think Boston has a very complete team, young guys who have experience early in the playoffs. So they're hungry. They're hungry. And I do think they can go all the way because – we've seen an incredible amount of stories in the NBA playoffs. So, you know, to see them go all the way, I mean, it's a possibility. Do they get past Toronto? I don't know. I would definitely like to see that. You don't think so? You don't think so?
No, man. Look, now go ahead and finish. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I don't think.
Okay. No. I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I don't know if they will get past Toronto, but it's still going to be a good series to watch if they make it all the way to the conference finals. It's definitely not going to be a sweep, but you know at least a good maybe 6-7 game series. But Bob, the whole thing with the 76ers is kind of sad because again, without their star player,
a lot of bodies. Yep.
They're missing a lot of bodies, and it is on Joel Embiid. And you know, I say it because you know I'm not a fan. You know, I still think he's a softy. You know, on the court, off the court. You know, he acts like he's all tough, but you know, it is what it is. I still think that he has a great amount of skill, and I have a lot of respect for him. You know what I'm saying? But there's certain things that he needs to keep on doing if he wants to help this team win and produce. He was doing it very well in the beginning of game two and early in game three, and you know, drawing some fouls, but he's got to be able to do that more to give his team a better opportunity. But it's not all on him. They need to also help, you know, they need to get some depth on the bench to help replace, yep, and you know, what they have lost on those bodies.
Yeah. I definitely think that, to me, priority number one going in, just like a couple of other teams, priority number one is point guard for the Sixers. They need it. Even if you get Ben Simmons back healthy, I don't think the best fit for Ben Simmons is at the point guard position in the NBA. I think, one, you need to tell him to get his ass in the gym once he's back healthy from his injury. I think you need to tell him to get in the gym and start working on that jump shot, because you need to be able to move. I think his best fit is at the three. You need to be able to get a guard. It can work. You've seen it with Oklahoma City.
Oh!
You've seen it with a couple of other teams.
Man, you've seen it. You're right.
As far as using that dual point guard and dual, you know, triple point guard system. So it's, you know, it's definitely something that can work. I think that they need to do that. But it's not just Ben Simmons getting back also. You know, you paid Tobias Harris a big amount of money this past offseason.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And
you're right.
He needs to step up. He hasn't been playing well. You know, the first two games, I thought he lacked energy. He showed better energy in game three. But, you know, you're paying this guy close to $40 million a year. You need him to ball out. You need to get
better numbers.
I wanted to see, you know, this playoffs. I wanted to see the value that they let go with Jimmy Butler. And it's clear, because Jimmy Butler at times and for most of last season's playoff run, he was their best player. He was their best offensive initiator. And they surely don't have that. They don't have anybody who can do that. And to me, that, you know, that's one of the things that they lost. And yeah, you know, I think the series is over. I think Boston wins game four. They get swept. And I think they're one of the teams, you know, similar to the Denver Nuggets, that need to go ahead and just get back to the drawing board and see how you can build this thing back up. Now, as far as Boston goes, I like Boston. I like Kemba Walker on that team. I like Jason Tatum's game. I like the nucleus that they have with Smart, Brown, and even Cantor, who gets bashed, you know, 9 out of 10 times because of his poor defense. He still has value as a rebounder, both an offensive and defensive rebounder. And the Celtics, to me, that is their issue. That's their main issue, which is why I don't think they can beat Toronto, is because if you've looked at the first three games against Philadelphia, yo, these dudes are fighting for their lives for a rebound. These guys are scratching and clawing for a rebound.
Al Horford out here is putting out some work, and they're still struggling.
And to me, when you go up against a team in the next round like Toronto. And congratulations to Nick Nurse for, of course, winning Coach of the Year today. When you go against Toronto and you got a guy like Pascal Siakam, Marc Gasol, Chris Boucher, Serge Ibaka, OG Anunoby, all these guys can rebound the ball. All these guys on average can give you about 5 or more rebounds a game. So to me, if you're the Celtics, the only hope you have is for these guys to not be able to shoot well. You've got to hope that you can outshoot these guys in order to beat them, because Daniel Theis and Cantor alone, they just can't do it. They won't be able to do it. They won't last doing it. Even with the young kid that they've been playing a lot lately, Grant Williams, I don't think he's ready enough for that. I think that they sorely miss Aaron Baines, who now plays for the Suns. I think they really miss Aaron Baines, because he was another big body that they can throw out there. They lost Kelly Olynyk a couple of seasons ago to Miami. And, you know, they just haven't had the big man, you know, the big man depth to come in and compete for the boards. And I think that's just going to be their undoing against Toronto. especially defensively. Toronto, I mean, both the Celtics and the Raptors are good defensive team, but defensively, I mean, even without Kawhi and Danny Green, the Toronto Raptors are amazing to watch defensively. They communicate very well, and we've seen that in their series against Brooklyn, and, you know, they're up 3-0 against Brooklyn. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about Toronto, man. A lot of people haven't spoken about Toronto this year. They've just kind of just gone under the radar, and they've had the third best record in the NBA all year. They've been one of the better teams in the NBA all year. And I just, you know, just said congratulations to Nick Nurse for Coach of the Year because they've been that damn good. But, I mean, I'm huge on the Raptors. I think they're coming out of the East. What are your thoughts on the Raptors, man? How do you feel about Toronto?
To be honest, I agree with you. I think they're going to come out of the East. What happened last year, they're coming off a championship just because Kawhi left. Yeah, it's a big hole that's missed, but they're still carrying that momentum, and they still have a lot of depth to do so. So when it comes to them coming out of the East, it's definitely happening. We were talking about Boston earlier. If they played Boston, it's going to be a matchup, but they're going to win it. They have too many pieces in place to lose to Boston. Like you were saying,
I just
saying,
changed,
you know,
your mind. That's good. That's good. I just changed your mind on that. That's good.
You know,
jump on the Raptors
bandwagon,
man. Jump on the Raptors bandwagon, man.
Yeah, but you know, if they're very effective. I'm really excited to see what they can do later on in the other half of the playoffs. I can't wait to see them come out on top. But they also are, to be honest, I think it's going to be a Miami, Toronto, conference finals, and I can't wait to see that. It's going to be a very, very good game, a good series. But what do you think about Miami, and they're actually playing right now, and the Pacers this series? We're talking about the conference. What do you think about this Miami team playing against the Pacers?
I like Miami, man. I think Miami is a solid team. To me, the most impressive thing about Miami has been the defense. The Pacers coming in into the playoffs. What's his name? I don't even know his name. He's not even that relevant. T.J. Warren. He came into the bubble and was dropping 50 points, 40 points, 30 points. He never knew he could do that. No one knew he could do that. I just, you know, no one saw that coming. And the Pacers were hot. Miami said, stop that. Forget all that BS. It's the playoffs. We're here to play. And they put a stop to it. You know, it's no more that showboating, dropping, you know, 30, 40 points a game. They're locking these guys up. And to me, it's just the intensity that Jimmy Butler brings to this team. And he's the perfect mold for this Miami culture. You know, they grit and grind, all up in your face, ready for the big moments, bright lights type of guy. And, you know, that's what Miami's all about. And, I mean, you know, you down there, you know all the fans down there.
And you know what they like to see. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because we had talked about this earlier. Like you said, the Philadelphia 76ers definitely missed that presence because he brings that type of environment and that culture to a team, and he makes them better. He makes everyone around him better, and that's the type of player that you need in an organization like Miami, with young guys who are willing to go out there and just play. And, I mean, yeah, you got some old guys on there too, you know, shooting out those threes. What's his name? Dragic?
Yo, I'm glad you said, because look, he's been one of the hidden gems in this series, man. Mm-hmm. Goran Dragic has played wonderful. You know, even in the first half just now, man, you saw Andre Iguodala hitting big shots and Jae Crowder. You know, like you said, these veteran guys who have a good, you know, mix of talent to mesh with the younger guys on that bench, like, you know, Duncan Robinson and Derrick Jones. So, you know, to me, it's like you said, man, it's a great, you know, built team, and they have good chemistry, and they can shoot the hell out of the basketball. I mean, the first half, they were 7-10 or 8-11, you know, in the first half of today's game. You know, they've just been that damn good offensively in the playoffs. And I really like Miami. I know you said you think they can make it all the way to the conference finals. I think they can too. It's going to be interesting. It depends on how the Bucks play in the second round. I know the Bucks series is 2-1 now. And, you know, the Magic ain't winning that shit, man. I mean, you know, one game was good, but, you know, they just not. Even if Giannis's friends don't come along for the ride, Giannis can do it himself. But, you know, to me, it's going to be interesting because, yes, in the 7-game series, if Giannis is balling out and the role players and his sidekick isn't balling out, then they're going to have trouble with Miami because Miami's that damn good and Miami's that damn deep as a team. So it's going to be very interesting in the second round to watch them play Milwaukee. I know it's the second round's not here, and I know we shouldn't be saying these teams are going to make it already, but you see what's going on, everybody. You're watching these games. You know what's going to happen. Orlando's not coming back. Indiana's not coming back. The Nets are not coming back. So you can already book those guys to the next round. So, you know, that has been, you know, a good series to see as far as how Miami plays. I think Miami's a team to watch out for.
Yeah. And that brings us to let's go over to the West, because there are some exciting series out there that are only just beginning to heat up. Which series to you which one means more? Which one has more value to you as far as like
being? I think the Portland Trail Blazers versus the Lakers. And because is you know, even though we talked about the Clippers and Mavericks earlier, we know the Mavericks aren't going to win. You know, Mavericks are damn good. But, you know, we know at the end of the day, they don't have enough. They don't have just enough to beat the Clippers. And, I mean, you could almost argue that for the Portland Trail Blazers too. But there's just something, you know, we've talked about this a lot. I've said this a lot. If there's one player in the NBA right now that I'm going to war with, it's Damian Lillard. Because I know that he can make the shot, and I know that he's always willing to take the shot. And to me, that's his biggest asset, man. And it doesn't matter if he just missed 5 shots in a row, 7 shots in a row. If it matters, he'll take it, and he knows that he can make it. And I have confidence that he can make it. And to me, I think as long as the game stay close. I think last game, I mean, immediately as soon as I saw the game about to start, and you know how they show, you know, the pregame and then what's going on. Immediately, as soon as I saw LeBron having that much fun, I was like, shit. He's about to go off. It's about to be another crazy game. And to me, if they can contain Anthony Davis and Nurkic stays out of foul trouble, Whiteside stays out of foul trouble, I think they have a chance to keep these games close. I don't like what I saw from Melo in the last game, even though he was very engaged defensively. I thought that he could have been a little bit more aggressive offensively. CJ McCollum the same. I think that a lot of times during the game, they just wanted to sit and let Lillard take over. Wake up. You guys got to play. Melo, you've been in the playoffs before. McCollum, you've been in the playoffs before. You know what it needs. You know what you need to do to win a game. So I think these guys need to wake up and help Lillard out. As far as the Lakers go, damn it, Anthony Davis, that's what I wanted to see. Be aggressive. Attack the paint. You're the best fucking big man in the NBA. Play like it. So, you know, to me, I loved what I saw from AD. I think he took initiative to be aggressive. He played defense. He played phenomenal defense. throughout the whole game. And that was good to see, you know. So I think the Lakers, of course, they have the upper hand in this series with the firepower that they have with AD and LeBron. I still think, of course, even when this season is over, whether they win the championship or not, point guard.
That's a fact.
Need to get a point guard. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I don't know if he's going to do that again. I don't know if he's going to be able to go, what was it, 6 of 7 from three. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that again. Hopefully, Lakers fans, he does, because I know you guys have been hard on him. Him and Danny Green both have been struggling. The Waiters experiment is not really working. Neither is the J.R. Smith experiment. There's still bodies to throw out there, but they've been highly inconsistent.
I mean, they got to get some more minutes to be effective. But I think in the back end of the series, we're gonna start seeing them some more, because this series is only tied 1-1. So
it's about to be 2-1 Lakers tonight. Especially if Dame doesn't play, he may be a game time decision. If Dame doesn't play, they're gonna lose. If he's at 50%, they're gonna lose. If he's at 85%, they're gonna lose. They need Damian Lillard to be 100% to have a chance. And if he's not there or not at 100%, then they don't have a chance at all.
I think coming off a loss and then, you know, Dame not playing, I don't think they're gonna be able to rebound. But I don't think it's completely over, because I think Portland might take this.
Game three. I mean, I don't know if they're gonna take game three. I think that they'll be able.
I don't know about game three. It all depends on if Dame plays. But I still think they could. You know, they could rebound from this and take this. You know, but we're gonna have to wait and see. You know, the game is later on tonight. Hopefully, we get to see Dame time.
8:30. I hope so too. I hate to see injuries during the playoffs. It's very unfortunate to see, but. You know, I hope that Dame does play. You know, to see him and Luka go out in the same playoffs, the same year, back-to-back nights, it'd be damn disappointing, especially because of the intensity of those series. But, of course, let's move away from the games real quick and the action. I just want to ask you a question about the experiment as a whole, the bubble. Mm-hmm. Going into the bubble, there were a lot of concerns about whether it was going to be safe enough, whether, you know, how many people might catch COVID. I'd say compared to baseball that has already started and the level of COVID contractions from players and staff, it's been very minimal in the NBA. I mean, you haven't really heard of many cases at all. What are your thoughts on the bubble and how it's worked so far?
Let's put it like this. The bubble is exactly what it was designed to do. You've seen the movie Bubble Boy, right? Germs, yeah. Right? Inside, outside. If everything is contained on the inside, then you got an environment where you control what's coming in, what's coming out. And they've been able to do that. Granted, you know, they've had some hiccups in there, but the only way they were going to learn is to do it along the way. And, you know, basketball is different because the type of sport and the amount of players, you can have all these teams, but you don't need that much real estate. You know, these teams are used to, like, you know, everything with fans, and, you know, they had to cut that out to eliminate the possibility of contracting the coronavirus. But what they've been able to do to rebound with the implementation of safety, we don't know all the protocols, but so far it seems to be working. You know, everything that they've done and implemented, the other leagues will be able to take from it. But the issue is that it's going to be impossible for you know, football to keep that kind of environment, because with the size of the team, you know, to keep in a bubble for that, you know, long, or, you know, baseball to keep in a bubble for that long, it's very hard. Those teams got to travel to different parks or whatever it is. but they'll figure out their own thing. But I think the NBA has been doing a good job with the bubble so far. And I think these other leagues are going to be able to take away a lot from it.
Okay. And that, of course, leads directly into my next question. Traveling has been such a big part of sports. And you know, a lot of these NBA players have said, and the coaches and owners have said, you know, not traveling and being in one location on one site has been so beneficial, not only for player recovery, but just for overall competition. Because of this NBA bubble, and we're seeing this with the WNBA and their bubble. We haven't seen any issues with that WNBA bubble. And if you look at, some of the games for the WNBA, they're still very exciting, still lots of fans through the virtual paneling, and it's been lots of competition. We've seen people like Tia Coleman go off. We've seen Sabrina Ionescu with the Liberty. We've seen her dominate in the bubble. And, you know, even without the fans, she's still going, you know, every night giving them something to see. And to me, that's been some of the good things to see with the bubble is the competition. But my question is, do you think we're going to see regional bubbles for any sport or regional sites? So organizations, these leagues are limiting traveling and how these teams play.
All right. When it comes to sports, I think you can get it done. It would have to be a different type of environment. Like hockey is different. They play on the ice, so I mean they're pretty much covered up in everything anyway. So they're all right. They're going to be able to continue. I the whole thing with the fans, they'll figure that out, but hockey's going to be straight. They will have to figure out their traveling situation. They could do a bubble if they really wanted to, but I don't think they will need to, but depending on how these states and everything is, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. For football, we're going to have to see. They haven't revealed the whole game plan yet of how the games are going to be played.
The Chiefs are said to have 22% capacity opening night.
Okay, well, 22% capacity, but we're still waiting to hear all the protocols because the fans, we want to be able to attend if we can, or if we can't, learn how it's what's like, what's the next evolution of the NFL, after the coronavirus. But we won't know until after, the first game kicks off, to see how these organizations are going to, move forward. You asked specifically about regional bubbles. I think it can work. The scale of it, I don't know, scalability, going forward. I think you could see that for worst case scenario, if travel gets really restricted, you can see that. Only time can tell.
Right. It's going to be very interesting moving forward. It's going to be interesting. The NBA originally had a target date of December 1st to start the new season or next season. And Adam Silver has said, that they're thinking of taking a beat on that, especially with discussions with the NBA Players Association. They're thinking about pushing it back a little bit more to make this a little bit safer or as safe as they can for these players and their families. We've even seen late as last week, these players are requesting, hey, can we get some company out here? And to me, that all of these things factor in as far as deciding how you want to go about this bubble. You got to think about how many teams you're going to bring into to these regional bubbles, yeah. Especially for right now, the teams that didn't make the playoffs. There were 8 teams sitting at home. What if you had those other 8 teams here? So, how would that work, So, to me, all of that stuff is going to be a little bit interesting moving forward. It's definitely going to be a discussion and a huge topic. especially if this NBA bubble continues to be successful and there aren't many COVID-19 cases. But of course, with that, everybody, we're coming to an end. It's your guy, Easy Ollie, D-Dub. Let them know where to find us.
Yeah, you already know. Go ahead and see us on Instagram, coverage_season. Or you can hit us on coverageseasonb.home.blog. You already know. Time to go.
Yes, sir.
Do what you do.
Yes, sir. All right, man. We'll holler at y'all later.